punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Well, it's warming up nicely. It was a little chilly this morning. And we have currently, looks like the panhandle's in a heat wave up there. It is in the 50s. It's 58, actually, at Kenton, 56 at Boise City, 52 at Slapout, 47 at Woodward. Way over there at Lahoma, 34 degrees. Down here in our part of the neck of the woods, down in southwestern Oklahoma, 41 at Hollis, 39 at Altus, 44 at Medicine Park, and 40 at Hobart. I'll have your long ranger forecast coming up for you and some temperatures from the West Texas Mesonet here shortly. Got a lot on hand today. Lieutenant James Edwards will be in here in the next segment. I think he will be for... talk about a law that he wants to remind everybody about and maybe give me some numbers from the deer harvest for out here in western Oklahoma, see what it looks like. And then coming up in the third and fourth segment, I'll have Mr. Greg Hartman, OSU Extension educator from Beckham County in here. We're going to talk about the deal coming up with alfalfa this coming Tuesday. And mainly, you know, garden season is not that far away. So he's probably going to have some tips on what you need to be doing to get ready to make a better garden this year. Hopefully the gardens do better than they did last year. I never seen anything like that. But anyway, some people had good gardens. Some people had bad. Some didn't even get a garden up. But anyway, we'll check it out here in a little bit. Let's check out some prices real quick. I'm just going to update you on the markets right now. Looks like it's just everywhere. It looks like a Christmas tree in here. Lots of red, lots of green going on. Corn's up 16. It's at 1.6. Sorry, a little over that. And 677 for March, 675 for May. July 664. Soybeans for March is 1531, up down 3. And then we have July's 1515. August is 1475. Soybean meal, 497.30 for March. May is 481. And July is 469.50. Soybean oil for March, 59.30. May is 59.57. And July is 59.57 also. Hard red winter wheat down almost 7 today, 874 a bushel for March, 868 for May. Oats are down about the same amount, 382 for March, 373 for oats. Excuse me. And cotton for March, 86 cents, and May is 87 cents. It's actually in the green today. Live cattle for February, 159.75. April, 163.80. June is 160.02. August live cattle, 159.45. March feeder cattle, 186.12. April, 190.17. Lean hogs for February, 75.12. April, 86.30. And May is 92.27. And then again, I want to thank everybody yesterday who called, text, wished me a happy birthday on social media anyway. I'm blessed to have so many friends, and I'm sorry I didn't get back to every one of you on social media. There's like 400 and something happy birthdays on there. So anyway, believe me, I seen them. But anyway, thanks again. I appreciate it. Had a good birthday. Had a buddy by my birthday, Daniel JB from Sayre, Justin. He bought Sandy and I dinner last night at Simon's Catch. I had a big old 16-ounce ribeye with a baked potato and a salad. And I even, Miss Sherry Rice gave me a piece of fudge and some ice cream for my birthday. So that was all cool. I appreciate it. Today is the Wheeler General Store Happy Cap Hour. It's the go-to store in Wheeler County. Actually, it's a go-to store from a lot of counties. From animal feed and farm and ranch supplies to paint and barbecue supplies, they are a one-stop shop. The Wheeler General Store has been serving the Texas Panhandle for over 30 years. The owners, Nathan and Charity Heffley, take pride in knowing when you walk into their store, and their team will be ready to help you with all your product needs. Being a do-it-best store in a small town makes it easy and affordable to get products that are hard to find in a timely manner. Keep your farm and ranch running properly with all the items that they offer. Delivering feed is their specialty. They have been a high-pro dealer for over 10 years. They deliver feed to ranches and stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Kansas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. Located at 15868 Highway 152, just outside Wheeler, Texas, they look forward to serving you. Charity and Nathan are big supporters in our community, and I'm not just talking about in Wheeler. They support a lot of events in Shamrock, Sayre, Elk City, Cheyenne, probably more. That's the ones that I know of. So anyway, show your support to them by giving them a call and going out and supporting the Wheeler General Store. Good people out there. Appreciate them being the sponsor of the Wheeler General Store. Happy Cap Hour every Friday right here on Today in Ag. Oh, the LT is in. Anyway, he's in the office. A couple more things I wanted to talk about here real quick. My computer ain't running as fast as my brain today. You ever get in that situation? Beckham County, and I'm going to bet this is for other counties too. This is from the FSA office. Maintaining ARC and PLC and CRP contract acres. If you're enrolled in the ARC, the PLC, or the Conservation Reserve Program, you must protect all cropland and non-cropland acres on the farm from wind and water erosion and noxious weeds. By signing these contracts, you agreed to control noxious weeds on the farm according to sound agriculture practices. If you fail to take necessary actions to correct a maintenance problem on your farm that is enrolled in these three programs, the county committee may elect to terminate your contract for the program year. We have been getting lots of complaints of tumbleweeds lately. Remember, you are responsible for weed problems on your farm, not them. So there you go. I'm passing that along. Also, your deadlines to elect and enroll your crop bases in the ARC, PLC. Purchase your NAP coverage for warm season grasses and summer crops. Deadline's coming up. March 15th. It's not that far away. Stay on top of that and go ahead and get it done. I know I got mine done down at Mangum today for Greer County, and I already got it done for Beckham County, so I'm all done. I'm happy. Probably first time ever I've been ahead of the schedule. Anyway, another pointer they want to give out, keep your livestock records up to date. Winter is here, and it's not gone by no means. We have been lucky so far. But anyway, keep your – just document everything, because if we do get another storm like we had in December – you know, and you lose some calves because this is calving weather or season. You know, they could help you out with this problem. So anyway, just a couple things from the FSA office. They appreciate all the help they can get and not the last minute stuff. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. And when I come back, Lieutenant James Edwards with the Oklahoma Wildlife Department, and he's our local warden here in Beckham County, is here, and he's got a couple things we're going to discuss. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? Company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day. That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local high-pro feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
America's beef producers have the best product in the world. From a backyard barbecue to a gourmet dinner at a four-star restaurant, if American beef is on the menu, you're in for some good eating. Our local beef producers raise a great product. As a financial institution, we're proud to be a part of it. Stop by and see us. Let's talk. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. And that's what we want. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference. Napa Auto Parts, 716 West 3rd, Elk City, Oklahoma. Napa Know How.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a Hughes trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
Good afternoon, great stewards of the land. This is your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Report for Monday, January 30th. I'm Drew Cobb. 246 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 368 brought 213. 45 at 603 brought 200. 45 at 699 brought 185. 3 head of heifers at 555 brought 158. 7 at 576 brought 172. 7 at 581 brought 177. Butcher cows were 38-100. Butcher bulls brought 89-106. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. That's exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. That's Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. And since I got a little extra time here, why not a Jimmy Clark joke or three? You know, I hear Jimmy Clark doesn't read books. He stares them down until he gets the information he wants. You know, time waits for no man unless that man is Jimmy Clark. You know, if you spell Jimmy Clark in Scrabble, you win. Forever.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Drew's killing me, James. Okay, Canadian, Texas. Here's what's happening there right now. You are at 52 degrees. The winds are out of the south, 18 gusting up to 20. Your peak gust today is 21 miles an hour. 594 minutes of sub-freezing temperatures today so far. Hopefully that's it. And 8-inch soil temperature in Canadian, Texas is 34 degrees. This little cold front we had in the last 5 days, we lost about 12, 14 degrees soil temperature. Hopefully we'll get it back here in the next 4 or 5 days. Well, joining me right now is Lieutenant James Edward from the Oklahoma Wildlife Department, game warden for Beckham County. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, always love having you on here because I get to get some insights on where the big deer and turkeys are. No, not really. Anyway, I already got that insight. But anyway, how was the season?
It was, you know, in a lot of ways, it was slower than it has been.
Law-wise, you mean?
Call-wise, the calls that we did have were, there was a lot of, disputes across property lines. To some of them, that got pretty heated. But for the most part, it wasn't too bad. I got a lot of reports of people not seeing deer and stuff. Like they were used to. I think there's a lot of things there. Some of it could be the drought. There was a big mass crop this year, so there's a lot of acorns out there. Maybe those deer weren't going to the green fields as quick as they used to. I am starting to get calls on that. now, especially with this cold, you know, deer hitting green fields pretty heavy. Our harvest was down, even from last year here in Beckham. Kind of in western Oklahoma, it was kind of all over the place, some up, some down. But from 2 years ago, we were still down right at 500 from where we hit a high in 2020 and 2021.
Down 500 for the year?
500 from that year, and then down about 50 from last year. Uh-huh. So here in Beckham County, we had 1,397 deer checked in Beckham County. And in 2021, we had almost 1,900 checked in. So it's quite a drop. But one of the things, and I texted you earlier this week, it kind of went along. I felt like it went along with your net wrap deal. I'm seeing a lot, and I'm getting lots of reports of wildlife being dumped along the roads and dumped in places they shouldn't be. And I wanted to make sure that everybody understands the law and the reasoning behind the law. You cannot dump an animal carcass, whether wildlife, domestic, or anything, within 1/4 mile of a public roadway or 1/4 mile of an occupied dwelling or where it can become washed into or into a body of water. And those are public health reasons.
Right.
It's like right now I have 5 piglets, feral piglets, that are about twice the size of a football in the back of my pickup that I picked up at Hex Road and Route 66 this past weekend that somebody dumped there. They obviously killed them somewhere else, picked them up, and then at some point decided, I don't really want these, and kicked them out right beside the stop sign. And feral pigs carry a lot of diseases.
Yeah.
And if people haven't realized, there's a lot of kids around here. Mr. Hartman sitting right over here has domestic pigs of his own. A lot of these kids have projects for 4-H and FFA, and that we don't want any of the diseases getting into our domestic stock that the feral pigs can carry.
Right.
And so anytime that you're leaving stuff where it can possibly get intermingled, plus it's just an eyesore. It's kind of like the net wrap. It's an eyesore. It's not good for the county. It's not good for the wildlife. It's not good for any of us. It gives hunters a bad name. I investigated a case of this kind of dumping just earlier in January now, and charged a guy $500 for illegal dumping of wildlife carcass. He literally drove down the road from where he hunted, dumped some critters across the fence on a landowner's property.
Well, he didn't want to mess his hunting up.
Well,
so.
It's one of those deals that it's kind of, respect for the land, respect for the wildlife, respect for the landowners.
Yeah.
The landowner that reported that to me called me and was like, am I in trouble? He thought he was in trouble because somebody else dumped something on his property. You know, so he was worried that he was in trouble. And I'm like, if you didn't do it, you're not in trouble. So we're seeing it with waterfowl. We're seeing it with coyotes. We're seeing it with pigs. We're seeing it with lots of things. Again, 1/4 mile. You got to be at least 1/4 mile from any occupied dwelling or public road. And again, it's just respect.
But yeah. Well, and then like I said, like Greg's sitting here and he raises hogs, and we have a lot of people in our listening area that raises hogs, and they carry diseases.
Oh, they state veterinarian, ag veterinarian told me you might as well assume every feral pig has pseudo rabies and swine brucellosis. So we definitely don't want any of that in domestic, because that will shut down. You want to talk about pork prices getting high?
Yeah.
Get some of those diseases in some of our domestic.
Kind of like the flu with the bird flu avian, with the chickens.
Avian flu, yep.
What about me when I've got buddies that I don't like and I shoot a coyote and I go hang it on their fence?
and that was an old-time practice. You don't see it a whole lot anymore.
Boy, back in the 70s and 80s.
Oh, it was everywhere. But yeah. I really don't think it having any deterrence to coyotes or anything. I think it's more like a bragging board.
Yeah, and then you've also seen those fences that had flathead catfish on them.
Sure.
But that was back when we had a fun life. I got a question for you off the text line. Do you know how many employees the Wildlife Department employed 40 years ago compared to now? Just curious.
That I'm not 100% on, but I can say with great assurity, since I've been around the Wildlife Department for 44 years.
Not many.
Not as many, not near as many, because back then there were biologists at a lot of our public areas. We've increased those public areas, so there's more biologists and there's more technicians that help manage those. So I would say it's gone up quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say it's doubled,
but
I would say back then there was about 120 game wardens, same as it is kind of now, maybe even a few more positions. But so that hasn't increased. It's actually decreased on the game warden side of things, but I think on technician and biologist side, it's increased.
Yeah, well, we've had an increase of land, WMAs.
Yeah, public land has increased.
Yeah, because I guess things that expanded down here at Sandy Sanders.
Yep, we added an additional 6,000 acres on the southwest side.
Yep.
So that's another opportunity. If we can just get some rain, maybe things will come back. It's definitely dry and desolate down there right now.
Wow, it's where I live. You don't have to tell me. So out of the counties at the district out here where you're at, which county did you see that maybe had a good increase?
The increase over last year, Roger Mills increased by maybe 30. Nobody really increased from last year a great deal, just minimal increases. Dewey had the closest. It had probably 150 increase from the previous year. But Roger Mills led this area with 1,629. But that's still down from the 2020 to 2021 season is down 600.
You think that's because that 2021, that was COVID year.
That was COVID year. We saw a record number of people, participate in that year. But yeah. I still think that with the weather conditions, I think we've had a drop off in, recruitment from the fawns to full grown adults. I saw a lot of people saying they didn't see as many fawns as what they're used to, and it's just nature.
Right.
Nature has a way of trying to kick things back to where they need to be. And we'll see.
I know hopefully. Some people said they were seeing quail. Some people said they wasn't seeing quail. That day we got it, that 5 or 6 inches of snow from my place, 7 miles west of Willow, to 4 miles down the road that morning of the snow, I seen 4 cubbies.
Yep.
And I hadn't seen any on that road the whole time.
Yep.
They were there.
And they're there. They're not as big of numbers as we used to.
Well, they're
see.
In the drought mode, too.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah,
we're winding down the last weekend and is next weekend. So
yep.
On the quail season, we'll see how it turns out. Don't want to take up any more of your time.
No,
I know you got Greg over here.
Couple.
He's got a lot of good information, and I
got
to get anyways. But thanks
one
for having
question.
Me.
One
What's
more
that?
Question. Question for Lieutenant Edwards. What was the biggest deer killed in Oklahoma this year in terms of inches to your knowledge?
To my knowledge, I'm not 100% sure. I know of some 190-plus, pushing 200 deer were killed. So it'll be interesting. There'll be a rack madness deal at the Wildlife Department that they're having in March. It's later this month, sorry.
No,
February.
I think
February 23rd.
I got a picture somewhere here.
And then, of course, the Backwoods show that's always up there at the fairgrounds whenever the basketball tournaments are going on.
The Backwoods Hunting and Fishing Expo is March 3rd and 5th.
But I believe the rack madness at our Wildlife Department is the
Yeah, that's coming
23rd.
Up. That's big. I took a deer up there 2 years ago. That was fun.
Yeah, that's a neat deal.
You got to have patience.
Yep.
Take some snacks.
It's a while. So, I'll get out of here.
All right, thanks, Lieutenant James.
You.
All right, thanks for all the participation on the questions on there. And we'll be right back after this. And Greg Hartman with the Oklahoma State University Extension Office here in Beckham County will be here.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Cattle still have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Moments like hearing my cat purr good morning mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib. Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for postmenopausal women or for men with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
My name is Justin Ettinger, and my wife Jo and I bought our 2022 Nissan Armada at Windy Nissan, and we just love it. Went out there because we wanted to see the Armada. I know Nissan's got a good reputation, and so didn't know anybody out there, but once we got out there and met Bryce and Larry and Corey, just felt really comfortable. I mean, all those guys just felt really comfortable down home, down to earth, and helped us get where we need to be. At Windy Nissan, Bryce was actively looking for us to try to find the vehicle that we really wanted. And ultimately, it came down to the one on the showroom floor. And he never, you know, he didn't shut us down to say, well, no, we can't get there, so good luck. It was, well, let me see what I can do to get us there. And he did. I just didn't feel any pressure whatsoever. I mean, I felt like they were truly wanting to work with me. I felt like we did very well. We got more on our trade than we expected, and they discounted the price of the vehicle more than I thought they would. I'm Justin Ettinger. My wife, Jo, and I just really love our Nissan Armada from Windy Nissan.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
The Quartermaster Creek Spring Bull Sale is February 22nd at 12:30 at the ranch near Leedy, selling 150 two-year-old bulls. Sires include Deer Valley Growth Fund, Monin Dakota, Baldridge Alternative, and several other breed-leading AI sires. Also selling commercial females carrying QC Genetics. The Quartermaster Creek Spring Bull Sale, Wednesday, February 22nd at 12:30 at Quartermaster Creek Ranch, southwest of Leedy. You can also view the sale and bid online. For videos and sale information, log on to quartermastercreek.com.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. I am picking Cherokee, Oklahoma today for our northwestern Oklahoma forecast. Currently, it's 36 degrees right now, 29-degree wind chill. The winds are out of the southeast at 9 with gusts up to 14. Humidity is 45. Today, 48 and sunny. Tomorrow, 63. Sunday, patchy freezing fog, but 62 for a high. Monday, 66 degrees, and Tuesday, 51 degrees. So I don't see much moisture in the forecast up there around Cherokee. So anyway, joining me in the studio right now is the OSU Extension Educator for Beckham County, Mr. Greg Hartman. Thanks for coming in today, Mr. Hartman.
Good to have you. I'm glad to be here.
You've had a busy... You're just going to be busy the rest of the month.
Yeah, it seems like these days it just doesn't ever slow down. There's always something going on and somebody calling about something. There's really not a slow time. But it is going to get busier here in the next 10 or 15 days for sure.
You got the county show coming up. And this is the first time I've seen it in February in quite a while.
Well, it's always, you know, the end of February, well, first couple days of March, just depending on how the
this
the
seems going. Like it's just, man, time's flying by this year already. And there, but we got, you guys are doing, you all of you guys are doing an excellent job, and I appreciate you coming in here, especially today. You got your meeting coming up this Tuesday, and you've already said you got quite a few signed up, and I think it's great because alfalfa is one of my favorite crops.
Yeah, here in the Four County area, Roger Mills, Custer, Washita, Beckham, we kind of work as a group together. We've done a lot of meetings, but we thought that it was important just to have a meeting where we focus on alfalfa for alfalfa producers, especially as we've gone through 22 without a lot of forage, and see where we're going to be at with forage coming here this spring. Hopefully our alfalfa is good. We thought we would just depend on that and look at that a little bit deeper and just focus directly on alfalfa. Because, you know, here in the end of this month, guys need to be starting to scout those fields because of insects coming in, depending on how much rain we have, determine if they're wanting to put some insecticide down and maybe get some soil samples. And we'll talk about soil sampling here in a little bit, how important that is, just to find out what fertilizers they need, what nutrition level they need, and get started, because it will not be long before alfalfa, hopefully, with our moisture coming, I'm going to be positive here that we'll get some moisture.
Thank you.
It won't be long till they'll be start really working on their alfalfa and getting that ready as that crop breaks dormancy and gets out. So we thought this would be a good time. Alex Rotelli from the campus is going to come out. He's the forage specialist for the state of Oklahoma. Kevin Sewell is going to talk about some entomology. Gary Strickland from down at Jackson County is going to probably talk a little bit about some of the plant diseases, weeds, and things like that. Josh Bouchon is going to talk about our fertilizer needs. Dana Zook from up around Enid is going to come and talk from a cow-calf perspective as far as using that as a forage and nutritional level there. And then Trent Melchick from up the Enid agronomist, or the AgCon there person, is going to talk a little bit about risk management and a little bit about the economics. So it'll be a great day from 10 to 3 over at the Western Technology Center here in Elk City on Western Drive. And it's just not a four county. If there's somebody on the radio here in a listen area that wants to come, please come on down. We'd love to have you. It's going to be a great afternoon. Like I said, from 10 to 3 in the afternoon, Farm Credit of West Oklahoma is going to provide our meals. So we'll have a great time. So I invite anybody that has anything to do or any prizes with alfalfa, please come on out and hear some of the speakers we've got coming. It'll be a really educational day.
And that's a super nice place where you're having it.
Awesome place. Matter of fact, they like for us to come over there and show it off for people. So
yeah.
It's great. It's a great place.
Yeah, no, that Western Oklahoma Votech deal here in Elk City is, they had a, Kathy Harrison had a insurance deal in there last year before. And, man, it's nice.
They use it for all kinds of things, and we try to help out. We use it whenever we can, and they've been so gracious to let us use it and for free of charge to have all of our meetings. So they're great folks over there.
All right. Well, anyway, so what do you got on this? You got, I see pictures of mezzanette over there.
Well, I wanted to come in and talk about it. I heard you as I was driving in that I was going to be here and talk a little bit about gardening. I thought we would kind of start off because, you know, we're about probably 14 to 20 days out from probably people thinking about really actually planting some crops. And I've always said, and I've put in the paper, that nothing says love like Valentine's Day than onions, thinking
right
about planting then. Well, I've backed off that just a little bit because if you remember what happened around Valentine's Day on 21,
yeah,
that wouldn't be a good time to plant. And then 22 was not just great. So I'm thinking that looks good as far as Valentine's Day if your temperatures are right. They need to be probably at least 40 or above. And I looked this morning, as anybody can look at the mezzanette site, you know, our 2-inch soil temperature at Eric was 34, at Elk City was 38, Cheyenne was 32, Bessie was 36, Butler was 37. But if you look at the 3-day average, which that kind of gives you a little bit better thought about if you're going to plant anything, and, you know, our 3-day average, that 2-inch was 35 at Eric, 32 still at Cheyenne, 37 at Elk City, 37 at Butler, and 37 at Bessie. So certainly those temperatures need to come up, and certainly we've been through a little cold spell here for a couple of days, which is kind of taking
it
them down.
It was 48 so, last week.
Yeah.
Earlier
so
last
it's
week.
It's really come down, so be careful and cognizant of that. And but as you come up, especially if you're a person that uses container gardening, those temperatures can fluctuate a whole lot more. So you might even want to let your 3-day temperature get up into the mid 40s before you put those onions in, because certainly, you know, as someone who raises crops, agronomic crops, if the temperature's not right and those seeds or those transplants sit there for very long, they could become dwarfed and not get off to a very good start, and then you've got problems starting off. So
instead of having baseball-sized onions, you're going to have maybe bulbs,
yeah,
if you're lucky.
Marbles or something,
yeah,
like that. So anyway, soil temperature is so important. And you get on the Mezzanet, just Google Oklahoma Mezzanet, and you can pull all that information up and look at that on a day-to-day basis and figure out where you're at.
Well, isn't I know you said you was going to talk about it, but soil samples for your garden, do a lot of people do that?
You know, not as many as you would think, and I've probably not done a great job in probably trying to impress the community or the country here, the area that we're at, that's so important. At least every 2 years, if not 3 years, get a soil sample. That way you know where you're at. I contribute that to, you know, my mother, she cooks by taste and by feel. She doesn't have a recipe. Not everybody's like that.
My mom's, you know, same way.
Most people, they like to know exactly what goes in. And same thing with your soils for soil fertility. You really need to know what you've got as far as your three main ingredients, or there you might call nutrients, N, nitrogen, P, phosphorus, and K, potassium. And certainly they need to be applied maybe a little different times because of their mobility through the soil and what they can do, such as like nitrogen. That's so important because that's all above the ground, what we see above the ground grow. And that's where we get our vegetative growth and we put on our fruit. And that's all well and good, but if you put too much of that on, then we'll just pick on the tomato because that seemed like that's something that everybody grows. A tomato is just really a glorified weed that produces a really tasteful fruit.
Yep.
And if you give it too much nitrogen, it can think that maybe it's going to live forever and maybe not produce hardly any fruit. It'd just be all vegetative. And so you really have to be careful at putting too much nitrogen on all at one time. And I would maybe suggest to people, if they're going to use nitrogen, maybe kind of feed it along sparingly along.
Don't do it all at once.
No, there's no need to do it all at once because the reason I told you there, and plus also, nitrogen is very mobile through the soils. It can move through the soils very quickly. So if you put it all at one time through your watering, whether it's container gardenings or in a traditional garden, that could leach out or percolate away from your roots, and you don't get as much good from it. And so you don't want to try to put too much nitrogen down because, you know, fertilizer expensive is anyway, so we need to get as much bang for our buck in doing that. So nitrogen probably needs to be applied at little increments because it is so mobile to the soil that it will move away from where you actually want it. Phosphorus is so important in the soil because it really is important as far as energy transfer the plants throughout the season. It's kind of the nutrient that helps get all those vessels or those veins in those plants opened up where they can transfer all the nutrients, all the water, all those good things that they need in there. And, you know, the phosphorus is needed in the crops to help balance the environmental pressures and risks that we have. So it's very, very important to put plenty of phosphorus down. But yet you don't want to have too much phosphorus because phosphorus has some salts in it. You can actually salt out your crop if you had too much phosphorus in there. A couple years ago, I had a client call from over in Custer County. They'd gotten a really good deal on some chicken manure, and they'd put a lot of chicken manure in and worked it in, and they had some issues with growth of plants. Looking at it, their phosphorus was way out of balance, and so they were salting some of those plants with that. So it's really important to have a good soil sample to make sure that you've got the right amount of phosphorus in there. as opposed to nitrogen too. And nitrogen is the same way. If you get too much nitrogen in there, you could almost burn some of those plants. A couple of years ago, a lady called me that had beautiful bedding plants, roses, and she wanted to know what she could do to make them look better. We discussed about mulching, using some extra fertilizer in there. She did the mulching, and she called me back and said, listen, all my plants are really not doing very good. We need to get a soil sample. We looked at the soil sample, and her nitrogen level was over 250, and I was thinking, what has happened here? And so I asked her, you said you were going to mulch. What did you mulch with? She goes, well, I just went out to the barn where my husband has all the alfalfa, and I just got all the alfalfa up, and
oh,
I just mulched with that.
Oh, boy. Yeah,
so
there's
your
nitrogen.
She really was giving a lot of nitrogen to those plants there. So there again, be careful about what you use, knowing what it's from. And then we talk a little bit about the K, which that's the potassium in there is so important for carbohydrate transportation, water regulation. It improves disease resistance to some of our plants. That's been proven. And it also increases drought tolerance. And that's really, really important when we've gone through a year like 22. So that's so important. And even those fruiting problems or quality problems can go back to if you have potassium deficiencies, like if you have cat face or you have blossom end rot or you have some of those other diseases that we see a lot in tomatoes, that can go back to our nutritional imbalance that we have or unbalance of some of our nutrition that we have in some of our soil. So it's so important. And for $10, you can bring over about 2 cups. We'll put that in our bags and send it off, and we'll get the pH. We'll get the nitrogen, the phosphorus, the potassium, and then a buffer index for what your crop is. That way, as you go forward, you know exactly what kind of nutrients you have in your soil, and you know a little bit about how to contain those or what you're going to do with those to give you hopefully the most success in your garden. I heard you talk about some people's gardens were really good, but most people's were not this last year. There again, we have other extenuating circumstances with the water and the wind and the heat that we didn't account for maybe last year. But again, if you haven't had a soil sample in your garden in the last 2 or 3 years, I would encourage you to try to get one from somebody or some entity to give you a little bit of an idea of where you're going to be at with your nutrient in your soils.
Yeah, because you know if your pH is super high and your water's super high, and you know, if you're using a well out there, well water, high pH causes troubles with your legumes in your garden. Yes. In a big way. And then also, you know, you were talking about the, you know, don't over-fertilize, you know, just because it shows you need nitrogen, be careful in your garden that you don't put too much nitrogen, even though it needs it, where your legumes are going. You got to be careful mm-hmm. where, you know, there's so many tomatoes, you know, it's a weed, like mm-hmm. you said, mm-hmm. but, you know, your black-eyed peas and your beans and stuff like that really don't need a lot of nitrogen, but the P and K goes a long ways with it.
Yes, and so you need to know what kind of vegetable or what kind of crop you're going to produce and try to get that correlated with the amount of nitrogen, phosphorus, or potassium, or more or less of one of those, what you're actually going to need. So just a sample of a broadcast and everything over everything is probably not ideal. And that's the reason they do sell fertilizer, nitrogen. They do sell some phosphorus. They sell potassium, or they can sell those all together. Those three numbers you see on the bag, that's always the N, P, and K in that, yep. that particular order. So be cognizant of that whenever you put your fertilizer out, exactly what you actually need. And we'll be happy to help you in any of those analysis that you need through if you do it through our office.
Well, thank you, Greg. We'll be right back. We got more with Greg. First, let's hear the report from Woodward yesterday from Jerry Nye.
This is Jerry Nye, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction, for sale last Tuesday, January the 31st. We sold 168 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, February the 2nd, we sold 1,200 calves and feeders for a total of 1,368 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows, 98 to 1 to 150, with 1 4-year-old cow bringing 129. 10 cows brought 80 to 93, with the bulls bringing 85 to 116.50. Killing cows are a very short supply, 2 weeks of low numbers for everybody around. That makes them very high. If you got any sale, might be a good time. 3 to 350 steers, 240 to 251, 4 to 450, 226 to 246, 5 to 550, 204 to 229, 6 to 650, 190 up to $2, 7 to 750, 176 to 184, and our 8 to 850, 170, 171. On our heifers, 4 to 450 heifers, 194 to 199, 5 to 550, 172 and a half to 185. 6 to 650, 173 to 180, 7 to 750, 170 to 172, 75. We sold 82 heifers, one bunch weighing 640, bring 175. And 81 heifers is weighing 797 in one bunch, bringing 165. Good market for this Tuesday. Cows are in short supply. Take advantage of it if you got any sale. We'll see you this Tuesday. Thanksgiving, Jerry 9 and the Woodford Livestock Auction.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Mickey will go to bat for you. Anytime you've got a problem or, you know, a question, he's Johnny on the spot. If he doesn't know, he calls up higher to get it figured out. And we've got tractors insured, balers, combines, swathers, cattle, hay, home, anything you can think of, he's got it. And he's been called a few times. Mickey is really good about coming to see what you need. You know, he'll come to where you are to get your signature or go over something that he's run into a problem. You know, you can't beat that because we live 18 miles from his office. So it helps when he's willing to come to the house. He's done, you know, just whatever he needs to do, he'll be there.
I'm Jill Duresha, and I'm a farmer and rancher in southwest Oklahoma.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Good afternoon once again, all you great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January 27th. 724 head were sold, 3 head of steers at 400 brought 237.50, 12 at 420 brought 235, 6 at 434 brought 230, 4 at 485 brought 208, 26 at 510 brought 210, 22 at 519 brought 198, 5 at 614 brought 191, 7 head of heifers at 346 brought 207, 9 at 419 brought 203, 11 at 493 brought 187. 50, 8 at 533 brought 184, 7 at 545 brought 174, 5 at 585 brought 171, 6 at 680 brought 161. Butcher cows were 52 to 9750, butcher bulls brought 75 to 114, bred cows were 735 to 1635, pairs brought 1310 to 1425. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your Livestock Nutrition Center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed. Better results.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back. Sorry, man, me and Greg talking like today. I even took an allergy pill. Welcome back to the Wheeler General Store Happy Cap Hour. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. And I picked Eric, Oklahoma today, 46 degrees, 41's your wind chill. The winds are out of southwest at 11 with gusts up to 15. Today, 50 for a high and sunny. Very nice out there. Tomorrow's going to be really nice, 64 degrees and partly sunny. Sunday looks gorgeous, 64 and sunny. Monday, 69, almost 70 degrees. Monday night, we got a 20% chance of thunderstorms, 37 for a low. Tuesday, slight chance of rain showers, 50 degrees for high. But it looks like Wednesday, we have a pretty nice shot of rain for about almost everything in western Oklahoma. But we'll see. That's a long ways away. All we can do is pray for it. In the studio with me is Mr. Greg Hartman from the OSU Extension Office here in Beckham County over at Sayre. He's the educator for the county. And we've been talking about gardens because gardens time is coming. And we talked about onions. What about taters?
You know, you always think of St. Patrick's
Day. St. Patrick's Day.
There again, that's really good. But again, be careful and cognizant of the temperatures because I've jumped in there and planted potatoes before. And the temperature kind of be a little cool and cold, and they just sit there, and then they kind of get dwarfed and stunted. And I've even seen sometimes where if it's too wet and too damp and too cold, and they just sit there and rot and really don't ever get going.
And I've had a chance to talk with a gentleman over there East Oklahoma City that has those two quarters, I don't know, half section of sweet corn that you always see on the news, and you drive through the barn to pick up your sweet corn. And he always tells me 64 is your magic number for corn. Mm-hmm. 64 degrees ground temperature. Mm-hmm. He said, if you plant it before then, he said, because it doesn't take very long for corn seed, sweet corn seed this is, to rot in the ground.
Mm-hmm. It's like with most seeds, too. I mean, you just make sure. So very easy to look on the mezzanet to find out what our average temperature, soil temperature is, and to look at that. And so
it's an easy app. It's a free app to download
free
on
app
your phone.
On your phone. You can pull it up on your computer, your smartphone. Those are awesome, and you carry them with you. And then you can kind of see what the weather's like and soil temperatures are like. That way you plan your garden for this spring and for the summer. Another thing I want to maybe kind of stop in here and just visit, just a smart about, is I see a lot of greening of our yards up. And I know people are starting to spray yards. And there's been a lot of people called in the last couple weeks about weed and feed, putting chemicals down, killing your weed killer with your fertilizer. That's not always probably the best thing because you're applicating of a weed killer and a fertilizer at the same time. And you really don't need both of those applications all at the same time. You know, all of our winter annuals that people are going to show up in their yard, certainly want to kill those, but we really don't need any fertilizer for our grasses till we get broken dormancy and that really gets to kind of going. So maybe there in April, depending on what the weather's like, that'd probably be about the first time that I would think about throwing some fertilizer out on my grass. Because everybody wants to make sure that they get their trees fertilized and around maybe their bedding plants. Well, if there's chemical in that fertilizer with your fertilizer, that could be very detrimental to your plants, to your trees. And we're seeing more and more trees as I look through the summer that are getting some type of damage from chemicals that maybe are being put on yards and people are putting them too close to their trees. To me, even some of their shrubs or bedding plants, and certainly we're seeing that. So I would make sure that you do those a split application to make sure you get the best results that you want.
Yeah, because with the cost of fertilizer, I mean, it's come down compared to what it was last year, but it's still expensive, and your chemicals are still expensive. And I did read somewhere, and I don't remember if it was OSU or Texas AgriLife deal, A&M AgriLife deal here a while back, you know, if your grass is dormant, liquid fertilizer is not going to do you a bit of good.
It has to be a foliar uptake. And
yeah.
There's
yeah.
no foliar out there.
Yeah, so anyway, it's not going to do you any good. And if it does do you any good, it might take a long time to do you any good. It's not going to be immediate like it would normally. And then with your chemicals, you know, yeah, there's pre-emergence and stuff you can be using. But, yeah, be careful around those trees.
Yes.
Those things are hard to grow.
They really are. And we get calls all the time, and part of the worst thing about my job is to go out and tell a lady or a man or a family this tree probably is not going to make it after they've had it for so many years there and it's shaded their house, their kids have swung on it, they've climbed on it, and, you know, that has to be cut
out. Fire department rescued their cat.
It's a bad time to tell people about this tree's not going to make it.
Yeah, it is. And then, like I said, just be careful. Even though costs have come down, there's no use in wasting any money about it.
Sure.
Because, you know, I'm a firm believer in dry on my fertilizer on my yards. And I know people put down liquid, and that's their preference. But I'm a firm believer in dry because I can water it in like I want it. So, anyway, they got what else does people need to be planning for besides onions and potatoes? I mean, that's kind of – I mean, well, you can start growing some stuff inside if you want.
Certainly, you know, if you want to think about cold crops like lettuce and radishes and turnips and things that do a really good job in the cool area, cauliflower, even some carrots, you know, they can all be planted in that end of February 1st, a couple of days of March there, and still be good. So soil temperature, make sure you look at the soil temperature.
All right. Hey, if you want to get Greg's autograph and meet him in person, he'll be over here in Western Oklahoma, Botech Center, coming up this Tuesday for the four-county alfalfa meeting. For any questions, call your OSU Extension office. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
You guys have a great weekend. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, and God bless.